joy to be here. Always a joy to be in church. Doesn't matter how you feel, right? It is an absolute delight. And I don't know
about you, but I certainly enjoyed yesterday. And I enjoyed some of the testimonies I've heard already tonight. And don't be blaming me about that stuff. You know, just rejoice in it. Got back in our sense world today, didn't we? Got all this stuff on the mind. That's where the other folks are. It's so easy. They're not bad folks. They're not evil people. It's just that we don't live with an eternal perspective. And they're dealing with stuff tonight that's important to them because it relates to them, and they can see, feel, hear, smell, and taste it. And we've got to get over that. But thank the Lord for you that are here. The preacher brought it up. I never mentioned it. It's a good time to teach for just a moment, I guess, about why churches support evangelists. And it's just absolutely critical to an evangelist doing what the Lord would lay on his heart to do. And you're a church plant in Burleson. I don't think the preacher knows this, and I didn't do it for him. Or the preacher down there. But not too long ago, within the last couple of months, we filled in a Sunday there for zero. And the time before that was for $300. And that was for a meeting. Somebody said, well, that averages $15,600 a year. Give it a try. Somebody said, well, why do you do it? Because the Bible says, give, and it shall be given unto thee. And somewhere churches like this send a monthly offering, and it allows us to do that without crises thinking. You know, the man needed help, go help him. You know, it's a wonderful way to live. But I say that only to say this, thank you. I've thanked the pastor, and I thank every one of you. Because your mission giving helps keep us out there doing what the Lord would have us to do. And he's just so good to keep his word. I want you to take your Bible tonight, and let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I want us this week, we've come to this point now. We had the questions to ask God about our giving last night. And some of the folks left said, I'm going to get a CD or DVD or whatever it is that you guys do. And I'm going to study those 20 questions. That'd be a good thing to do. That'd be a good thing for everyone to do and slip it into your devotional time. Just this question and let the family talk about it. And it'll be an amazing time. But I want to move tonight. It's pretty easy when you're preaching on giving to find inspirational stories in the Bible, actual stories of illustrations of how we're to give. And they make good preaching. But sometimes we need to go back to kindergarten and just get the practicum first. And I want to do that tonight and maybe tomorrow. I want to give you tonight some biblical guidelines for giving. Not stuff people thought up. Biblical guidelines. They're very simplistic. But at the same time, we miss it. We get hung up on the tithe. And we never study giving. So we're going to study that for a little while tonight. And I'll repeat myself on this. Giving involves money. It's much more. I did not give any money that Sunday to Berean. My tithe and offering goes into where my membership is. So I did not go up there and give money. But I gave a part of my life. Nobody else in the world could do that. When you give somebody some of your time, you have done something nobody else in the world can do. I like to get in on that just every once in a while. Nobody can do that but me. And it's a lifestyle. And it involves all of life, our time, our talent, our treasures. And the Bible says much about the way we ought to give. And it's really quite amazing, and I want us to think about it. Now, some of it, I know it's kindergarten, but every once in a while, I find this post-grad stuff doesn't get it done. So let's go to kindergarten for a while. Guidelines for biblical giving. Number one, now this is a biggie, give. That's all. Four letters, write it down. 2 Corinthians 9:7. And this is one of those verses that you hear so much in stewardship, you don't pay any attention to it. But look at it. 2 Corinthians 9:7. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Now here's what I want you to see in that. So let him give. Who? Every man. Is that what the book said? Every man. So let him give. And everybody is to be a part. No exception. Everyone ought to give. Every teenager, every young person ought to give. Every husband ought to give. Hang on. Every wife ought to give. Say, my husband gives for me. Now, we've been through that here before. Your husband cannot give for you. And you get angry and say, well, he's the only one who's got a job. He's the only one who has income. So you're thinking about a tithe. You have to have income to tithe. All you have to have to give is a word from God. And everybody can get a word from God. If you'd ask those questions, it'd settle that real, real quick. Every man. We have pitiful statistics out today on church giving nationwide. The latest ones say 4 out of 10 church attenders give absolutely nothing. Nothing. And the other 2 or 3 give next to nothing. And 2 or 3 are carrying the load out of that 10. It's an amazing thing. See, giving is not about the money. It is a reminder. It's to remind us that our life is about God, not about us. See, we are not a human having a spiritual experience. We are a spiritual being having a human experience. And it's not about us. It's about God. And we need to understand that, you see. I'm not the point. God is the point. Somebody asks, what's the point of life? Well, they've missed it when they ask that. Because they're talking about me. And we need to get away from that. More, far, far, far away from that. See, God does not exist for me. This is a goodie. I exist for Him. Anybody believe that? You believe that's why you're here? Do you believe that's why you're drawing breath tonight? Absolutely. We exist for Him. See, I own nothing. He owns everything, so I give. Can't miss. That's number one, give. Every man, not every husband, every man, woman, boy, and girl. Everyone, give. Number two, give generously. Now, I'm going to ask you to use your Bible tonight. You have to use books in kindergarten. And I want you to find, if you would, Mark chapter 14. We're going to just take our time. The slower you are, the longer we'll be here. Mark chapter 14. That was tacky, wasn't it? It was fun. Mark chapter 14. Here is the most wonderful story of someone giving generously. Since you have your Bible open, I'm not going to take the time to read the entire story. It's about that meeting there in Bethany after a dead man had been raised to life. Amen. That must have been some kind of meeting, huh? Amen. I wouldn't mind going to one of those, would you? Somebody said, old Joe Blow was dead, cold stone dead, buried, and Jesus come by and raised him. You want to go see him? What do you think? Yeah. I'm on the way. I want to go have a time. And they're having a time there, and one of Lazarus' sisters gets sort of fanatical, gets beside herself, I guess, goes in the house and gets that alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she just pours it out on the Lord. She just has her time of worship. How did she do that? By giving. But now I want you to watch something. The stingy folks that were there, and they all were of the same religion, and there wasn't any religion then but Baptist. They rebuked her, the stingy ones. You have stingy ones in every church that try to make other folks like them instead of them becoming like other folks. It's an amazing thing to me, you see. Religious tightwads. They always like to control God's money. Huh? It's wonderful. Yeah. And so that you know that religious hypocrites. And why was this money wasted? We could have sold that ointment for 300 pence and given it to the poor. And Jesus had a word for him. Said, shut your mouth. Keep quiet about it, you see. She's done a good thing. I want to show you something. You've got your Bible open, Mark 14. Now, this is important to me. This is one of those things I had often mentioned it and even made a point of it, and I still miss some of it. Get this in verse 9. Jesus is speaking now. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. Now, if you mark your Bible, mark that a memorial of her. We're going to visit that again here in just a few minutes with another person. You don't find that often in the Bible, you see. And she gave generously, and God, Jesus, said, we're going to make an eternal memorial for her out of this event. It'll always be remembered. That's an amazing thing. See, she didn't calculate it. She didn't try to figure what a tenth of it was. She just poured the whole thing out. Did you know that the most calculating Baptists are always the stingiest with their giving? The ones that have to calculate it right down to the penny every time. They're always afraid they're going to give a nickel too much. It bothers me to see a tithe check for $10.97. I'd go steal 3 pennies off of the kid's dresser somewhere and round that one off. I would. You see. Listen. Love generates generosity. Not calculating. Love generates generosity. You say, well, how much would be generous giving for me? Well, it's not the same for everybody. A suggestion, figure out what your car note is, your house note is, and that'd be a good start. That's what you call being generous with yourself. Why couldn't you be that generous with God? Somebody said, I ain't going there. That's your problem. It's a good place to live, though. It's a good neighborhood. Good place to be. See? And so what I'm saying is, look, and I've got the choir here tonight. But you showed up, so smile through it. If you've never tithed, start right there. So you can't give God anything until you pay your tithe. And we're instructed in the Bible to do one thing with our tithe, and that's bring it from our house to God's house. Undesignated. No strings attached. Not designated to nothing. You don't get mad at the preacher and designate your tithe. That's stealing. Yes, ma'am. So you start there. And then you let God start stretching your faith. You believe He'll do that? You begin to really seek Him to find out what He would have you to give. And one day, you're going to wake up a generous giver, and God's going to be thinking about a memorial for you. May or may not happen, but you remember one got it. Let me give you something else now. You're back to 1 Corinthians. You're in 2 Corinthians probably, or Mark. Go back to 1 Corinthians now. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Very familiar verses, but we're getting some lessons. Lesson number one, give. Let every man give. Lesson number two, give generously. Don't start calculating and figuring and budgeting. Get with God and ask Him what He'd have you to give over and above your tithe. Number three, give regularly. regularly. Many Christians don't give it all. Many who do, do it on a hit-and-miss basis. I mean, if they're sick one Sunday, don't expect a double tithe the next Sunday. And if they go on a vacation, that's three of them blown right there. And they're going to tell you they're tithers. They're going to stand up and lie about it. And then you got that bunch that'll give $2,000 or $3,000 maybe a couple of times a year. And the whole church thinks, boy, aren't they great givers? No, they're doing that for attention. The great givers are those 100 a week, 200 a week, 300 a week, 400 a week, 500 a week, every week, 52 weeks a year, sick, well, in town, out of town. Count on it. It'll be there. Those are the great givers. Give regularly. Look in verse 2 of chapter 16. Upon the first day of the week. What day would that be? Is that Sunday? See, I was so ignorant growing up. I hadn't improved much. I thought Monday was the first day of the week. I didn't grow up in church. I thought Monday. That's when we always started our week. So you have to unlearn some stuff to learn some stuff. But Sunday is the first day of the week. And upon the first day of the week, let every one of you. You know, the Bible's just firm on that everybody stuff, isn't it? Let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered. Now, that's interesting. Every Sunday. Someone said, and I, don't get bound up in some kind of a ritual. But you and I need the reminder every 7 days that everything else we've got belongs to God too. People often say, well, I get paid every 2 weeks or once a month. Now, if that's the way I got paid, then I'd divide it up and I'd give a tithe and offering every week so I'd be reminded that what I had came from God. Now, I don't think you'll go to purgatory if you don't do that. But I think it'd help you remember that everything's God's. You sit down every Sunday before you go to church or every Saturday night and you write out that tithe and you add that offering in and you stop and thank God you had it to do it with. Amen. And praise him for it, you see. So what I'm saying, on the first day of the week, a weekly reminder that the other 90% belongs to God. And you find out what he wants you to do. Plan your giving. Do it on purpose. You know, just give God the first fruits, not the leftovers, and do it regularly. Next lesson, lesson number 4. Now, lesson number 1, give. Lesson number 2, give generously. Lesson number 3, give regularly every week. Lesson number 4, give deliberately. Deliberately. See, this tithe and offering thing is a reminder to us from God. It's really not about the money. It's a reminder that we ought to be deliberate, that it ought to be an act of worship. Amen. Yeah. It ought to be a contemplated, deliberate act. Not one of these jerking the check out on the way to church, scrambling it out, getting it written and putting it in your pocket, never giving it a thought. It ought to be a deliberate, meaningful, contemplated act of worship. In today's society, and don't try to make anything too spiritual out of this, but you can set up to pay your accounts, you know, that are the same every month. You just put on automatic paying. Away it goes. And you ask somebody, well, why would you put it on an automatic pay? And they all got the same answer. Well, that way I don't even have to think about it. You say, well, that's good, isn't it? Well, I don't know. I can tell you one thing. Every year, I don't know how this works out, but Wanda has a birthday. It's always the same day. Don't get ahead of me. I ain't going down to the flower shop and put that on a once-a-year automatic billing sequence and her get a big bouquet of flowers. Might be very expensive, but I ain't even thought about it. Yeah, that's the way it is when we throw God one every once in a while. You know, I'm not going to put her on automatic pay. And I'm not going to put God on automatic pay because I need to make that an act of worship. And look, when I get her something, now she'll tell you I don't ever get anything for her. I'm going to put some thought into it. Help me now. Ain't no need of me. Look, she's high maintenance. There's no need of me putting that kind of money out without some serious thought. Is this going to please her? And I'd like to put some serious thought every week. You know, I don't even write our tithe and offering check, but every week it goes into our church. But every week I thank God that He's made us able to do it, and I contemplate what a wonderful act of worship it is to be able to do this because He's asked me to do it. You know, it ought to be something deliberate, just plain old deliberate giving, you see. And that automatic pay stuff, you can do that with no thought, no prayer, no nothing. And I wouldn't do that. Now, I'm not talking about online giving to your church. You still got to do that. As far as I'm concerned, that's just like writing a check. You sit there. I mean, now, if you set it up on an automatic thing, shame on you. But you can do it online. I can't tell the difference. You see, and the bank can't tell the difference. And God can't tell the difference. But you need to be deliberate about it. You need to sit down and have your little church time before you get to, while you're getting that stuff done. And do it deliberately. Find out what God would like to receive and gift Him with it. Number five, give voluntarily. Give voluntarily. Now turn back, if you would, again to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We're talking about voluntary giving now. We're kind of beyond that tithe, okay? Okay. Now look at verse 7. This one's a biggie. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. In other words, you give voluntarily. Now, some of the stingy Baptists look at these scriptures and say, well, what that says is you give as you purpose in your heart, and that means we ought to give only when we feel like it. You know, some people can make Scripture say anything they want to. And all I can say is that's the dumbest thing I ever heard a Christian say. You see, what they're saying is, it's a voluntary thing. Now, I really want to help you. In the Bible, the tithe was never voluntary. It is a commanded duty. The offerings were voluntary. Never were they commanded to give. They were encouraged to give. They were exhorted to give. Never were they commanded to give. So you tithe in obedience. And then if you're right with God, you say, dear God, what would you have me to give? And you voluntarily give it. Doesn't matter whether you feel like it or not. It's just what you do. And it'd be a wonderful thing just to do that. You read in the Bible, no one was ever commanded to give the building fund. Turn over to Exodus chapter 35. Exodus chapter 35. Exodus 35. And get over there. Let's see if I can find it now. Verse 21. We're dealing with that building, one of those building programs now. Verse 21. And they came, everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whom his spirit made willing. And they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle. You got it? They bring in their building fund offering for the tabernacle. Now, I want you to notice something. Something made them willing to do that. What does the Bible say made them willing? It says their heart stirred them up. And the Spirit made them willing. What did their heart stir them up? Oh, it was a heart of gratitude for what God had done back through there out of the wilderness, victory after victory after victory. And now God had chosen them to have a part in this most magnificent thing that had ever been done for the Lord. And it was given. But they did it. Notice that their spirit was made willing. Look at verse 26, if you would. Verse 26. And all the women whose hearts stirred them up in wisdom spun goat's hair. They got into it. They started giving. You know, they're doing what they had. What happened to them? Oh, the heart stirred them up. See, they didn't pump it up in their mind. It wasn't something they worked up on a self-help program. It's something they couldn't really help. They'd think about what God had done. Verse 29. The children of Israel brought a willing offering to the Lord. Every man and woman whose heart made them willing to bring for all manner of work. And it goes on and on and on. Turn over to verse 36, chapter 36, verse 3. We always have to look at it. And they received of Moses all the offering which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of the sanctuary to make it withal. And they brought yet unto him free offerings every morning. It's just an unending thing. They were not commanded to do that. Now, you'll find over where David exhorted them and said, now, who now is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? That was all that was asked of them. And here they came. Why? Because their heart reminded them of what God had done for them. Their spirit made them willing, and they obeyed. Right. You know, we just do it voluntarily, you see. I think it's too bad when we come to our giving in the local Baptist church. You know, we move into a don't ask, don't tell scenario. This, you don't ask, and I ain't going to tell. Well, that's too bad. And see, our young folks never know how to give then. You know, it's a sad thing. It's a bad thing, you see. And how do they learn if you never talk about it? You know, it's interesting. Lesson number six now. Lesson number five was give voluntarily. This one I'm really thrilled about. Give excellently. Give excellently. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 at verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 7. Therefore, as you abound in everything, in faith, and utterance, and knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. What grace? The grace of giving. That's what chapter 8 is all about and chapter 9 is all about. And Paul is saying to him, you've abounded in faith, and you've abounded in utterance, and knowledge, and diligence, and in your love to us, you see to it that you abound in this grace also. See to it. See, the word abound has the same root word as the word excellent has. Excellency. It's like playing an instrument I talked about the other night, you know. Giving, for most of us were not born givers, we were born takers. So giving is a learned skill. We learn how to give. It's something we have to get into. And with practice, you get better. Got to practice. I hate that practicing, don't you? I want to be good at everything I do. I just want it to happen automatically. I just want to have a Zoom 5-second collision with God in an altar and bingo. No more practicing. I just put it on automatic, which I said I don't want to do. Huh? But that's the way I'd like for it to happen. See? No, you can learn to give more. You can learn to give more often if you want to. And I don't know why we don't work on this practice of excellency in giving. We do it in everything else. We teach the pursuit of excellence on the job, don't we? Sure. Won't be the best there is. We have seminars of every kind. We have ladies' seminars, men's seminars, youth seminars. Why not giving seminars? I mean, just get past this don't ask, don't tell thing. We'll never learn to excel in our giving until we can be taught how to practice it. Speaking of being taught, we're to lesson number 7. Give cheerfully. Give cheerfully. You know what verse 7 says. For God loveth a cheerful giver. 2 Corinthians 9:7. God takes a delight in the giver who takes a delight in giving. Not just in the giver, but in the giver who takes a delight in giving. God loves a cheerful giver. And there are many reasons for having joy when you give. I mean, there's a lot of them. Number one, you're investing in eternity. We read Matthew 6 sometimes, and we talk about banking up there and all that stuff. But what it says is, lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. We're not doing that for God. Lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. Somebody said, what does that mean? Oh, you're smart enough to know what that means. That means right down here on earth with our giving, we can establish things in heaven that'll be a joy to us. And so investing in eternity, that's one reason. And then that ongoing saga of human need and divine response. I talked to the preachers a little bit last night over to up to pastor's house about that. Divine need, human need, and divine response. And it's your job and my job to put that together. And then that's what joyful giving does, you see. And thirdly, Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Someone said, well, how can that be? Well, when you give, three people are blessed. You remember? The recipient is blessed, you are blessed, and God is blessed. So three get blessed in it then. So I just wonder tonight how many blessings we missed in the last 30 days. How many blessings, how much joy, how much abundance have we missed? The answer is unknown, but we ought not be willing to continue to miss His blessing or to get out there in the midst of it. Number 8, give worshipfully. I want you to see this one. I told you we'd visit again. Look in Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. It's probably as far as we're going to get tonight, but I don't hear anybody complaining about that. Acts chapter 10. I'd be happy to stop here and find it. We're to give worshipfully. Worshipfully. I want to read you 4 verses in chapter 10. Now, I know you know the story. Do not let it steal the message away from you. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band. Now, watch his resume here. A devout man, and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. Now, did you get that resume? He was a devout man. He feared God, and he gave much alms to the people, and he prayed to God always. He saw a vision, evidently, about the 9th hour of the day. An angel of God coming in to him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he said he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he's now, here's where it gets deadly serious with me. And he said unto him, the Lord said unto him, thy prayers and thine what? Alms you're giving are come up for a memorial before God. Here's a man on earth doing something that came up before God in heaven, and God's going to make a memorial out of it. What was it? Same thing that Mary did over there when she poured that alabaster out on him. It was his giving. That's what it was. See, he was a devout man. He feared God. He worshiped God through his giving, which really brings us back to the fact that all of our giving ought to be directed toward God, not toward Heritage Baptist, not toward J.C. House, not toward Berean Baptist, but all of our giving ought to be directed Amen. Toward God. You still got 2 Corinthians open? Go back to it. You need to exercise. Listen to verse 5. 2 Corinthians 8:5. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord. And he's talking here to the good Christians in the church of Corinth. And guess what they had failed to do? I'm talking about saved folks on their way to heaven in the church. What had they not done? They'd never given themselves to the Lord. That's where we got our hang up. See, we want to live for self out here and be religious on Sunday. We have to. It has to be all about God. Amen. You and I have to give ourselves. We surrender. We sing, I surrender all, but we don't. And we need to. And it needs to be a worshipful thing. And you know, watch here. See, he's challenging these Corinthians to give like the Macedonians do. And in doing that, Paul points to the basis of all Christian giving. He points it right out real plain. 2 Corinthians 8:9. I want you to look at it now. Here is the basis of all Christian giving. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye, through his poverty, might be rich. For your sake he became poor. He left the ivory palaces of glory. The old preacher says he came down that golden stairway and took upon himself the form of a man that he could die for me and you. That is the basis of all Christian giving. And the capstone of chapter 8 and chapter 9 is in chapter 8 and verse 9, not verse 9. It is in chapter 9 and verse 15. Look at it. Here's the capstone. This puts chapter 8 and chapter 9 together. Verse 15. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift.
Amen.
If we could just get it. Yeah. It'd change our old stingy attitudes. I'm telling you the truth. Yeah. See, giving is the response of a heart that's been triggered by God's grace. That's why we give. You know, someone said grace and gratitude belong together like heaven and earth belong together. Someone said gratitude follows grace like thunder follows lightning. And that may be true. What I'm saying is you and I ought not miss out on an act of high worship on the first day of every week. We ought to be honest and tithe. And we ought to have such a grateful heart, such a heart filled with gratitude that God would come and die for us, that we want to know what he'd like to receive, and we'll give it to him. It's amazing. Don't miss out on it. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Guidelines for giving. Give. Give generously. Give regularly. Give deliberately. Give voluntarily, give excellently, give cheerfully, and give worshipfully. Now, I have a question for invitation time. How are you fitting into these guidelines? You say, man, that's just the way I do it. Boy, that's great. But maybe some of us need to ask God to turn the searchlight on and search our hearts and remind us really how stingy we are. Some of us probably need to spend some time at an altar just letting God direct our giving program and get all of our calculating out of it. And just let God have His way. And as you bow there, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Bow your head, please. Every head's bowed. We get ready for our invitation.